Thank you for getting ready to tune into your new episode of Shooting Lights Out. The Playmakers Bar brings you Shooting Lights Out, hosted by Diana Playmakers, and is sponsored by Fanatics. Official license everything with Fanatics.com. Jerseys, hats, memorabilia, whatever you can think of sports-wise to rep your favorite team, get it at Fanatics.com or Sports Fan Shop. Shooting Lights Out is also brought to you by Lids. Locker rooms by Lids. Get your favorite hats with your team logo or customized hats, along with t-shirts and any other sports apparel that you want with Locker Rooms by Lids. And now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a brand new episode of Shooting Lights Out. Ladies and gentlemen, how y'all doing today on this first of May? Should I say it's the first of May? We are in the fifth month of the year in 2023. It is a Monday. Hope y'all doing well out there. Y'all know who I am, the playmaker down there, Silence from Jacksonville, Florida, Duval. Shout out to the Jaguar fans that just witnessed the NFL draft. Nevertheless. Oh boy, I got a show for you guys today. I have a fragrant file. Actually, I have two fragrant files to give out. One is my personal favorite file, and another one is a birthday present to my good buddy, Mr. Cole Johnson, who celebrated his birthday on last Friday. And I gave him the opportunity to pick another fragrant file for me. So I'm doing two fragrant files today, playoff edition. And we're gonna get caught up with what's going on in the NBA. So you know what? I was gonna catch this up on the NBA first, but no, I figured let me get one of these fragrant files out the way now because I ain't fired up right now. So I need to get one of them out the way. So let's get to my first fragrant file. Yeah, it's been a long time since I did a fragrant file. And yes, that is right. You do see that Los Angeles Clippers as the flagrant file yet again. I think it's the third time I've done this. And it ain't nothing different because it is because of these gentlemen here. Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, mostly Kawhi Leonard. But Paul George must be included as well as he is part of the duo that is the Los Angeles Clippers, should I say. But yes, I have to do another flagrant foul on these two. Because, you know, when I get you caught up with the playoffs, this take has already taken place, so we already know what happened with them. Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, you know, it is amazing to me that we get to see y'all like this more times than not. Instead of on the freaking basketball court, balling like we know that y'all can ball. But no, you guys always in freaking street clothes. Doesn't make no sense. It really doesn't. Let me get on screen here. So, we found out a little later on at the game, too, that Kawhi Leonard had a knee sprain that was supposedly what the diagnosis was. So, he missed games 3, 4, and 5 as the Clippers was ousted in 5 games by the Phoenix Suns. He had a loss of, he had to hear his sister go to jail for life. That's painful. And then after the series is over, we found out Kawhi Leonard was diagnosed with a torn meniscus in his knee. It is very, very, and I do mean very difficult to support the Los Angeles Clippers when you just don't know when Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are going to be available. It is very difficult to support this team because injuries continuously happen to the main two guys of the team. Mainly the cornerstone of the team, which is Kawhi Leonard. Very, very difficult. It's been 4 years now. 4 years. 4 years. The Clippers have nothing to show for but a conference finals appearance thanks to Paul George, which I will get to that. This is what Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce had to say about Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. The most unreliable NBA duo. This is from Kevin Garnett and Paul Pierce. They're two guys that teamed together down in Boston to bring home a championship. Along with Ray Allen. Before Rajon Rondo got there. As Doc Rivers, as the head coach. Who, by the way, who coached these two? I think for one season, two seasons, before they went to Toronto. I mean, you see these two guys in these black jerseys here. You see, that's a Clippers black uniform here. We don't see that a lot because we too busy seeing this a lot. So, since now four seasons have ended, these two have played a total of 142 games together. That includes regular season and postseason. Record ride 96-46. We're still healthy. They can do some damage. Yeah, you're right. That's the damn problem. So they played 140. So let's say 96. Divided by 142. They have a win percentage of 67.6%. They win 67% of the game. Two-thirds! More than two-thirds of their game they win when they on the freaking court. For every three games these two play together, they win two of them. So if I was to take that map, right? What is 33% of? So you take away 27 games. So you're looking at 55 and 27 each year. You're in the playoffs. You're a top four seed. At least it will stay healthy for a full damn season. For a full damn season. They will win at least 55 games. If these two stay healthy, because they win two-thirds of their games. They literally win two-thirds of their games. So let's go on a memory trip here, because right before Kawhi Leonard went to the Clippers, and the last time we actually saw Kawhi Leonard smile, was this! 2019 NBA Finals, when they beat the Warriors in six. Kawhi Leonard became a two-time champion and a two-time finals MVP. This is the last time we've seen Kawhi Leonard smile and be happy and love life because he got out of San Antonio, went to Toronto, and led them to a title. By the way, he played all 24 playoff games for the Raptors that year. Played all 24 postseason games for the Raptors that year. Just throwing that out there. And plus, if you ain't seen my article, should the Clippers move on from Kawhi Leonard and call it a failure, go back and read it. It's on the website. Also, you can listen to Stephen A. Smith because I got this fact from Stephen A. Smith. This is the first tape that day. Stephen A. Smith said Kawhi Leonard played all 24 games. Since his four seasons with the Clippers, including the two games he played against the Phoenix Suns, that's a total of 26. And one postseason with the Toronto Raptors, he played every single game, which is 24, to capture a NBA championship in Canada. He went back home because he's from LA to play with the Clippers. It's been 4 years, four seasons, and he's playing a grand total of 26 playoff games.
This is why we have a problem. This is why I am fed up. This is why I'm acting this way. Because for the fourth time this damn year, I have went with the freaking Clippers to come out of the West. And every time I've been bitten by an injury to a Paul George and an injury to Kawhi Leonard.
Well, except for the first year. The first year was bitten. Speaking of which, let's go to the first year.
The Boba season.
27-10, 7 assists in the playoffs. Not bad, right? Problem is, and most people know this because people bring this up, this is when Kawhi Leonard and Paul George choked the 3-1 lead to the Denver Nuggets. And Paul George got the brunt of it because they started calling him Pandemic P. Even though Kawhi Leonard was part of that team that choked to the Denver Nuggets in the bubble down in Orlando, Florida back in 2019-2020 season. But Paul George got the brunt of the ridicule for being Pandemic P and not being able to focus the way he should have. Almost, if you think about it, I'm kind of thinking he almost went through a state of depression at this time because they were stuck in Orlando for months after having months off. But they were stuck in Orlando. They couldn't go back to the West Coast until their season was over. That's the last time these two this was the first time these two played in the postseason together. And they damn near played every game together. So yes, Kawhi Leonard was part of that choke job too. That's year one. Year two! 2020-2011 season, 32-11. 6-5 in the playoffs. 6-5 because Kawhi Leonard got injured in the Utah series. Was that the conference semifinal series? He got injured there. He never made it back. And Paul George led them to the conference finals when they took the Phoenix Suns this game to get rid of them before they ultimately got taken out by the Milwaukee Bucks and Giannis under the Kubo in six games for the NBA championship. But Paul George helped lead them to the conference championship round before they getting beat by Phoenix. Kawhi Leonard was done. And he was so done with that injury against the Utah Jazz that he missed the following season, which is the 2021-22 season. And a season where Paul George didn't make it that far either. He only played about 40 something odd games. And they missed the playoff. They made the play-in. So Paul George didn't make it back for the end of the season. They was in the play-in, and they got pretty much dominated by the Minnesota Timberwolves to get out of the playoffs. So they didn't even make the playoffs. They made the play-in, but they didn't even win the play-in. So that's how that season, which was last season, how they missed the playoffs in Kawhi Leonard. They touched the floor not one bit that season. Okay? Now that catches up to what happened this season. 24-14 with them two on the court together because Paul George was suffering an injury. Kawhi Leonard was still, there was load managing Kawhi Leonard because he was coming off that knee injury. Paul George ended up getting that knee sprain against the Oklahoma City Thunder, in which he didn't make it back in time, which he didn't make it back at all for the postseason run. Kawhi Leonard plays games one and two. It's the best player on the court in the series, and everybody know it. They win game one, they lose game two. Come to find out, Kawhi Leonard was not making it back, and we know the results of the Clippers season. Even though Russell Westbrook, Norman Powell tried their damnness to win one of them three games. They damnness to win one of them three games. It just won't work. And this is where we at. Torn meniscus for Kawhi Leonard. We initially thought it was a knee sprain, but no. Torn meniscus, and we're going to see how long he's going to be out. Because, matter of fact, I need to know what's the curve recovery time for a torn meniscus. Because this is going to be really difficult. Full recovery from meniscus surgery can take anywhere from 6 weeks to 3 months. Your care after surgery may involve crutches to take stress off the knee as it heals, knee brace to stabilize the joint as you recover.
That's just the basic. Let me see about NBA. Is it the same thing? For the successful repair of a torn meniscus, it typically takes 4 to 8 weeks to fully recover. It can take several more months of physical therapy and rehabilitation. However, to ensure your knee has the strength and stability it needs to return to sports with minimal risk of re-injury. So the normal recovery time, which is basic recovery time, can be as long as 3 months. For a sports person, an athlete, 4 to 8 weeks to recover fully, and then several months of physical therapy. So you're looking about 3 to about 6 months. I'm just going to throw that out there. So it is, but yet again, it's Kawhi Leonard. And Kawhi Leonard has always been injured, and his return from injury always take longer than usual. Sounds like somebody I know down in New Orleans, but I ain't not gonna mention that guy's name because some people down there want to give him a chance. But I'm running out of patience with Kawhi Leonard right about now. Now I know some people are not happy about what Stephen A. said when they were talking about the Clippers should force Kawhi Leonard to retire. And Stephen is not backing off on it because, you're not available. What does Kawhi Leonard do for the Clippers at all? Load management him. Then he still gets injured. When he's injured, he's out for a very long time. He really doesn't do much TV. He had that one commercial with New Balance, that's about it. Like, Kawhi Leonard is a quiet guy. Okay, we don't hear nothing from Kawhi Leonard. His teammates don't even know when he's gonna play or not, because they don't care about that type of relationship with Kawhi Leonard, because Kawhi Leonard is a quiet guy. So we don't know nothing about Kawhi Leonard, which is freaking ridiculous. That we sit here 4 seasons in and we still dealing with the same thing when it comes to Kawhi Leonard, who is a superstar. You cannot deny that from the man. The man can score at a ridiculous rate, and he can defend his ass off. He is very efficient at scoring, which is good. If you can take the injuries away, I think Kawhi Leonard probably have about 5 championships, if you want to be honest. And he probably have 5 finals MVP. He's that elite. Because he gets it done on both sides of the floor and against the best player on the other team. He is that damn good. But when you're that damn good, you got to be on the court to show it. And you're not on the court to show it, Kawhi. You're just not. That's what's so frustrating. Nevertheless, on the 27th, Clippers president commitment to Kawhi Leonard and Paul George remains. So they're going to give it another shot. They gonna give it another shot. I don't know if I can give it another shot next season. I don't know if I can come to the next season and be like, you know what, I'm picking the Clippers to come out of the West. I don't know if I can do it. I've done it 4 times. I got bit 4 times. I have picked the Clippers all 4 seasons. Bubble season, the season after. Actually, no, I didn't pick them in 2021, 2022, because I knew Kawhi Leonard was missing the season, so I didn't pick them. I went somewhere else. I think I went Golden State that year. But that didn't happen. But 3 out of 4 seasons, I picked the damn Clippers. And I got bit all 3 times. And it made me so happy to be picking the Clippers, for those who want to know. Because when LeBron went to L.A., Kawhi said, I want to go back to L.A. and I want to go to the Clippers. I'm like, yes. Not only can LeBron get his ass whooped, but the Lakers can get their ass whooped too by a team that is like the little brother in town in the Clippers. It'll be so sweet. It is for the regular season, because they've been whooping the Lakers ass like 11 straight regular as the regular season games go. They never faced off in the playoffs. And as of right now, the Lakers are in the conference semifinals, and the Clippers are home because of injuries. But Steve Ballmer and the team, they must have talked around. Lou and them talk, they're going to give it another chance. So we shall see where it goes from here. But, dude, I'm running out of patience, and I don't think I'm the only one running out of patience. So that's my fucking foul. Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, and the goddamn Clippers.
Welcome to Ringside Chaos, the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast. The only professional wrestling podcast in the world where pro wrestling is discussed passionately, with confidence, with great knowledge, and most of all, in the most sophisticated way. So brace yourselves, ladies and gentlemen, because chaos is about to be unleashed. Thing with Tony Khan now being in talks to buy WWE, I'm going to be honest with you. I spoke to this with Ricky Litwinkiewicz, aka the Master of Mayhem, and he honestly believes that me talking about Tony Khan buying WWE is that basically I'm kind of wasting my time because Ricky believes it's never going to happen. Okay. Now don't get me wrong. Ricky, I respect what he says. He could very well be correct. But I gotta be honest with you, the fact that Khan is interested in supposedly buying WWE, to me, that's definitely worth talking about. Now, I should mention this, shout out to Ricky, by the way, and I gotta mention this, that even Jim Cornette already had something to say, and he said, and I quote, "ridiculous to think that could happen," unquote. A wrestling fan that's been super supportive of Brody Lee as a wrestler, and everything that WWE could have done with him, and, you know, everything that he could have shown and, you know, offered for the wrestling business. You know, for me, I wasn't just a fan of Brody Lee himself, like, in character. I strongly respected him, you know, as a human being. Like, I had a lot of respect for Jonathan Huber. You know, that's Mr. Brody Lee's real name. So, basically, I had a lot of respect for Brody Lee, Luke Harper, and, of course, Mr. Jonathan Huber. Particular episode was about world-class championship wrestling. And the episode title is, you know, WCCW Wrestling's Lone Star Legacy. And because I am the Bear of Texas, and I do hail from the Dallas-Fort Worth area of the state of Texas, world-class championship wrestling was basically my territory as far as being a wrestling fan goes. Ladies and gentlemen, Ringside Chaos is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
The Playmakers Bar is proudly to announce that it landed a partnership deal with Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus. Stream live sports from any device that you have, whether it is your computer, laptop, or even your cellular device. Catch breaking news live when it happens, and enjoy a mountain of entertainment from movies to shows to whatever you love doing. Paramount Plus. Plan starts at $4.99 a month, but right now, you can get a free trial. Just hit that link below with the Playmakers blog and start your free trial right now. Paramount Plus. Mountains of the Entertainment. All right, welcome back to Shooting Lights. So, as you can see here, we're finna get back into our playoff session. Let's talk some playoffs, shall we? And to begin, we're gonna start off with this. Lakers and the Memphis Grizzlies, 125-85 in game six to win the series 4-2 to take out the Memphis Grizzlies. Don't worry, I'm going to dive deeper into this one. But you see all the separate dots around. You see none of the Grizzly starters scored more points than Anthony Davis. Desmond Bane, 15 points in 37 minutes play. John Morant, 10 minutes in 34 minutes play. Dylan Brooks, 10 points in 26 minutes play. Jerry Jackson, Jr., Defensive Player of the Year, 14 points, 4 boards, and 32 minutes play. That is abysmal. That is terrible. That is freaking outrageous. But I will say some of that anger when the flagrant foul comes for the Memphis Grizzlies. For the Los Angeles Lakers, 16 and 14 from Anthony Davis. He got 22 from LeBron James with 5 and 6. 31 from D'Angelo Russell. By the way, Kyrie Irving was in attendance. By the way, maybe that sparked D'Angelo Russell to do what he did. But 31 points for D'Angelo Russell, 5 of 9 from 3-point range. That's a measly 11 points from Austin Reeves. But hey, when you beat the team by 40, you just do whatever you need to do and just get out the game and go on about your business. But yeah, 125-85. Yeah, the shooting woes for the Grizzlies, 30% to the Lakers, 54%. These dudes blocked 15 damn shots. The Lakers blocked 15 blocks by the Lakers. I can't believe I'm speaking like this about the Los Angeles Lakers. Good gracious. This is even more reason why I can't stand with this right now. I can't wait to get that freaking frog because y'all really pissed me off that I got to talk like this about the goddamn Lakers. 52 to 32 points in the paint. They out physical to them by 20. It was plus 20 Lakers in the paint. This is abysmal. And the Lakers want the number 2 seed. The Grizzlies want the number 2 seed. Nonetheless, the Lakers finished them off and they was waiting for their matchup, whoever they get to face in the semifinals in the West. And that took place in Game 7 in Sacramento between the Golden State Warriors and the Sacramento Kings. And my God, 120 to 100, the champs, the reigning, defending NBA champions, the Golden State Warriors, they'll be going home to play in the Western Conference semifinals because Steph Curry with the 50 burger. 50 points. He was not looking. And you look at everybody else. Draymond Green on the 8 points. Kevon Looney on the 11. But he did get 21 rebounds, which is amazing. Andrew Wiggins, 17 points. Klay Thompson, 16 points. Jordan Poole had like 10. 50 points from Steph Curry. And on the other side, the Clutch Player of the Year, De'Aaron Fox, can only give you 16 if you're a Sacramento fan. DeMarcus Sabonis finally had a game where he scored 20 points, but he still got beat by 20 because De'Aaron Fox couldn't do nothing. Keegan Murray only had 10 points. Malik Monk struggled. Harrison Barnes struggled. Everybody on Sacramento struggled because it was game. The pressure is different in a Game 7 win or go home scenario. And the champs showed up, and particularly Steph Curry. If you look at 43% from the Warriors, 43 out of 100, 37.5% from the Kings who were at home. That's your difference right there. Everything is pretty much nip and tuck. Yeah, that was Steph Curry, and that's my post when I found out what he did. Steph Curry with the 50-piece Sunday dinner in Sacramento. Everybody got something. He had a 50-piece, and he gave it to everybody in Sacramento, so everybody was not. Nobody had to feel unwanted because everybody got a piece of the 50 points that Curry put in Sacramento. Not only that, look at this. We have the reaction. Trae Young, unreal performance, Steph different. Kevin Durant, who's playing for the Suns now, legendary 30. 50 pieces. DeMar DeRozan, Steph Curry, a bad man. People took notice and went to Twitter because that dude, Stephen Curry, went in on Sacramento. Which now finishes off the first round of the NBA playoffs, and this is where we are at. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking the Miami Heat and the New York Knicks do battle, which I'll get to them because they play their first game of the series. The Philadelphia 76ers and the Boston Celtics, they get ready to do battle tonight, and I'll get to that a little later. On the West side, it's the Denver Nuggets and the Phoenix Suns as they got started with Game 1. Game 2 is tonight. We'll talk about that. And then the Warriors and the Lakers get started on tomorrow for their series. As you can see how each of the first round series went, Nuggets in 5, Suns in 5, Warriors in 3, Lakers in 6, Celtics in 6, Sixers in a sweep, Knicks in 5, Heat in 5. So that's where we are at right now as we go into the semifinals. And game 1 of this series took place on Saturday. That was the lone game played on Saturday between the Phoenix Suns and the Denver Nuggets. And not what the Phoenix Suns had in mind to start game one. 125-117. Denver Nuggets take game one. Kevin Durant, 29 points, 14 boards. Devin Booker, 27 points. DeAndre Ayton, 14 points, 7 boards. Why is Kevin Durant doubling your rebounding, DeAndre Ayton? I just want to know that. By the way, speaking of which, Nikola Jokic, the Joker, 24 points, 19 rebounds. Statistically, are you telling me, DeAndre Ayton, that the Joker pumped you in game one? He made you look like a punk in game one. Is that what I'm looking at? 19 rebounds to your 7? And then Kevin Durant doubled you in rebounding your own teammate? Is that what I'm looking at? Are you being a punk in game one, DeAndre Ayton? If this is what you're going to give the Phoenix Suns, y'all going to get y'all ass kicked out of here quick, fast, and in a hurry. Because if DeAndre ain't going to help somewhat neutralize the Joker, y'all going to get y'all ass whooped. Because he had 24-19. Aaron freaking Gordon, 23 points. And on, by the way, the man who just loves playoff basketball is Jamal Murray. No, he just dropped 34 with 9 assists and 5 points. That's all Jamal Murray did. He just dropped 34, 5 and 9. And that's why y'all got your ass whooped by 18 in game one. Now, if it's something similar in game two, y'all ass is damn sure in trouble because we see the same thing in game two. We're going to be looking at y'all like, y'all going to finish. Y'all going to need to do something. Oh, and by the way, Devin Booker played 40 minutes. Kevin Durant played 36 minutes. And Chris Paul playing 32 minutes. That's not sustainable if you're finished. Yeah, but Monte Williams got to find somebody off that bench to help spell these guys. Get them a break. If not, the Nuggets going to run through them. They're going to run through them. If I'm Phoenix and I'm Phoenix Suns, I'm from the Suns fans, I'm worried. If I'm Charles Barkley, I'm worried. This ain't good. But it's only game one. We'll see how game two goes. And then once we get a game three, we'll see how game three goes. But I'll have a little concerns if I'm a Suns fan right now. Then we get to what this series that took place yesterday. They tipped off game one down in Madison Square Garden between the Miami Heat and the New York Knicks. MSG was rocking as that old rivalry is renewed. These two franchises are facing off for the 6th time in the playoffs. The last time they faced off was 2012 when Carmelo Anthony was leading the Knicks against LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Paul. I guess you can figure out how they went for the Knicks. Yeah. All right. Game one, Miami. 108-101. Still in home court advantage from the New York Knicks out the gates. Jimmy Butler, before he rode his ankle and is empty for game two, as that breaking news came down, he's empty from game two from Coach Spoelstra. 25 points, 11 boards. But he got help. Gabe Vincent, 20 points, 5 from 12 from 3-point range. Kyle Lowry came off the bench, gave him 18 points. Jimmy Butler had help. For the Knicks, Jalen Brunson, he had 25 points. 0 from 7 from 3. RJ Barrett had 26. 1 from 5 from 3. Josh Hart, a measly 10 points. No Julius Randle. That's why you see Obi Toppin in there. Obi Toppin, he was so effective. He had 18 points, 4 of 11 from 3. 8 rebounds. But between Jalen Brunson, Josh Hart, and RJ Barrett, as you can see, circle. I'll square it. One for 16 from 3. 1 for 16 from 3. Gabe Vincent by himself outshot those three. Because Gabe Vincent went 5 for 12 from 3.
And to make matters worse, as you can see here, the Knicks were up 11 after the first quarter. From the second quarter on, the Miami Heat outscored the New York Knicks 87-69. That is an 18-point difference. The reason why the Heat ended up winning by 7 after being down 11 after the end of the first quarter. To even highlight more of that horrific three-point shooting from the Knicks, 7-for-34. That is 20.6% from three. While the Heat shot 33.3% from three. They was 1-for-3 from three in terms of that, 13-for-39. The Knicks was terrible at shooting threes. Points off turnovers. Heat had 22 points off turnover to the Knicks 8. And the Heat turned the ball over 9 times. How you get 9 turnovers from a team, but you can't have more points than the turnover the team committed? That don't make sense to me. That really doesn't. The Heat turned the ball over 9 times, and they only surrendered 8 points on the 9 turnovers. That don't make sense to me. But the Knicks turned the ball over 13 times, and the Heat scored 22 points off those. Make it make sense, New York. Make it make sense. I mean, you crushed them in the paint, 62-38. That's a 14-point difference. That's a 24-point difference right there in the paint. But they kicked your ass in turnovers and, well, they kicked your ass in points off turnovers and then the three-point shooting. That's why you lost. And plus, Jimmy Butler being Jimmy Butler, like, there's nothing you can do about that. Josh Hart's a great defender. He's a good defender. I love it. But he ain't stopping Jimmy Butler. I mean, it's the sixth consecutive game that Jimmy Butler has dropped 25 points and was at least 50% from the field. He was 8-for-16 from the field in game one by dropping 25 points. I mean, playoff Jim is a real thing. You're not stopping it. I'm sorry. But he, like I said, he does have a rolled ankle. And Coach Spoelstra said is right now iffy that he plays in game two. But they'll probably say Jimmy Butler knowing that, hey, getting a split, which is most of how most teams think when they're on the road first. Hey, we got the game that we wanted. We got game one. We can lose game two, go back home and get ready to do what it is. Same thing happened between them two. When the Knicks played the Cavaliers and the Miami Heat played the Bucks, they both stole game one. Game two, the home team, they let the home team do their thing. And from that point on, they just both teams put up 3 straight, ending both their series in 5. The same exact way. So we'll see how game two goes, but we'll get that. But there's 2 series that get ready to tip off later. One tips off tonight, the other one tips off tomorrow night. And as you see here, the Philadelphia 76ers going against the Boston Celtics and the Los Angeles Lakers going against the Golden State Warriors. First up, the Boston Celtics and the Philadelphia 76ers. East semifinals matchup. The reigning defending Eastern Conference champion, the Boston Celtics, looking to redefend their title and make it back to the NBA championship, while the Philadelphia 76ers are trying to make it to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time since 2001, when they went to the NBA Finals by Allen Iverson and crew. But they run into the Los Angeles Lakers led by Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal. Yes. Unfortunately for the 76ers, Joel Embiid is doubtful for game one. Not a good thing if you're a 76ers fan going against a Boston team who might be feeling some type of way because they know they let Atlanta hang around a little too long because the series should be ended in 5, but they had to go back to Atlanta to finish it off in game 6. And shout out to Jason Tatum for apologizing to Janet Jackson because you made her reschedule her concert in Atlanta when it shouldn't have happened. You should have handled business like you're supposed to in game 5, but you did it in game 6. Without Joel Embiid, the Sixers had no chance in hell to beat the Boston Celtics without Joel Embiid. If you can get Joel Embiid on the court, that is great. That's what you need. If not, you're going to get your ass whooped by the Boston Celtics. Now, here's the thing. If you can get Joel Embiid back on the court and say at least game 2, maybe 3, you have a chance because one of the things that has suffered from the coaching changes from
Ime Udoka to Joe Mazzulla, it's the defense of the Boston Celtics that is not as potent as they used to be. For whatever reason, that defense has taken a dip. That defense is not as sharp as it needs to be. And that could be a way from James Harden, Joel Embiid, and the 76ers to make this a very interesting season or series and make Boston really fight to reclaim, to defend their throne. But we shall see, though. We shall see. As for this one, so the Golden State Warriors go from one California battle to another California battle. They won the Northern California battle between the Golden State Warriors and the Sacramento Kings. Now Golden State have to win the California battle between them and the Los Angeles Lakers. LeBron James, AD leading the Lakers against Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Jordan Poole, Draymond Green, and the reigning defending NBA champion Golden State Warriors. This is the first time that LeBron James and Steph Curry get to meet each other that is not in the damn finals. All four of the other meetings took place in the four or five. I'm going to say five. Oh, no, four meetings. All four of the meetings met off in the championship game. That's when they had to go four straight against each other. LeBron James took one. Steph Curry took three. 2015, it was the Golden State Warriors and Steph Curry. 2016, it was LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers. 2017, 2018 was Kevin Durant, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and the Golden State Warriors because they was beating the brakes off everybody those two seasons. In the first year, they beat the Cavs and LeBron in five. Then the following year, they just beat the mid-four with no problem whatsoever. There you go. Now, thoughts on this series here. Can Kevon Looney and Draymond Green make things difficult for Anthony Davis? Because if Anthony Davis has a similar series that he had against the Memphis Grizzlies, Golden State is in trouble because Jaren Jackson won Defensive Player of the Year. But Anthony Davis played like the Defensive Player of the Year. And he plays like that against the Golden State Warriors. I don't like the Warriors' chances. LeBron James is going to do LeBron James things. Steph Curry is going to do Steph Curry things. On the other side, Jordan Poole, where the hell are you going to show up? You got your bag, you got your money. When the hell is your ass going to show up for the goddamn playoffs? That's right, I'm calling your ass out. You're supposed to be the splash cousin, but you ain't flashing. When are you going to start splashing? And by the way, when Snowman hears, he's going to agree with me. He's definitely going to agree with me because he know what I'm saying is true. He can't stand the Lakers. I don't know who can't stand the Lakers more, me or him. But I think it's me because I can be a judge of what I'm saying it though. But Jordan Poole, when you going to be the splash cousin that you need to be? Klay Thompson is struggling, but you know we have seen Klay Thompson become that splash brother when it's time to be that splash brother. So he wasn't needed on Saturday. He wasn't needed on Sunday. On yesterday, Steph Curry led the way. But Klay Thompson gonna need at least a game or two when he's rocking with Steph, and the Splash Brothers are doing their thing. But damn it, Jordan Poole, you better wake the hell up, because if you come that third scoring option like you're supposed to be, Lakers are in trouble. Because D'Angelo Russell is going to have a hard time with Steph Curry. We're going to see how Austin Reeves do with Klay Thompson. Draymond Green, if he can be the facilitator, playmaker that he's known to be, he can put LeBron James or anybody guard him or Richie Harden more. He can put them in a bind because of his playmaking and finding the wide open shooters. Kevon Looney, if you can do what you did against Sabonis, if you can replicate that against Anthony Davis, the champs will be heading back to the Western Conference Finals. And by the way, Golden State has never lost any Western Conference. I hope y'all realize that. The only time Golden State lost when it comes to postseason play is in the finals. Before they became a championship, let me say that back. Ever since they became a championship team back in 2015. Or 2016, should I say? Or 2015? The Warriors have not lost in the Western Conference playoffs. Ever since their first title,
But Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, them in 2015, they have not lost a Western Conference series since. We are in the year 2023. They missed the playoffs once or twice during this run, during this 8-year run. Outside of that, they're making it to the finals. They are making it to the finals. So what is going to happen here between the Los Angeles Lakers and the Golden State Warriors? Oh, and by the way, I'm picking Boston because I actually had Boston meet with the Milwaukee Bucks in these conferences in my preseason pick. But Milwaukee's gone, so that means I have to work with Boston. So I'm rolling with Boston. I give Boston 6. LeBron James is going to do LeBron James things. Anthony Davis, let's see what he does against Kevon Looney and Draymond Green from time to time. Steph Curry going to do Steph Curry things, but can Klay Thompson be the Splash Brothers? Can Jordan Poole show the hell up? Man, I'm calling Jordan Poole out. If anybody I'm calling out Jordan Poole. Can he be the Splash Cousin that he need to be? And if all that works out, Warriors in 6. I'm taking the Golden State Warriors. I'm taking the reigning defending NBA champions since this game's over, the Los Angeles Lakers. That's just me. Okay, I'm picking Boston in 6. I'm picking Golden State in 6, which means Golden State will be finishing off the Lakers on the road like they finished off the Golden State. And, you know, Boston, I think this Boston's the better team. I just also believe Boston's the better team front and back. Without question, it is me. So, with that being said, you know, tonight you have the 76ers and Celtics game 1, 7:30 TNT. Follow that game 2 between the Phoenix Suns and the Denver Nuggets as the Nuggets are up 1-0, looking to go up 0-2 before they head down to the desert to take on games 3 and 4 in Phoenix. Tomorrow, game 2 of the Miami Heat and the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden. 7:30 TNT tip-off time. We'll see what Jimmy Butler plays. We'll see if Julius Randle plays in those games. And then game 1 of the Los Angeles Lakers and the Golden State Warriors following Heat and Knicks to get started. Late game 1 up in San Francisco at Chase Center. All right. Well, another break and we come back. One more fucking foul to give out before we head out.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Into the Net FC. Kylian Mbappe just all of a sudden finally understood his role, and I think he finally understood that everything Kylian Mbappe has accomplished already, you know, there is still a hell of a lot waiting for him in the future. Kylian Mbappe is only 24 years old. He has accomplished so much, and you know what? Kylian Mbappe has not even reached his prime. Finally seeing, you know, the Marcus Rashford we have been hoping for such a long time, you know. But, you know, this game, you know, after everything Manchester United has been, you know, doing lately, you know, this was actually the ultimate test, you know, to see if Manchester United, you know, honestly was all of a sudden for real.
I explain this. The United States, maybe they have to suffer this loss as a lesson to learn to prepare for the future. Because 4 years from now, the World Cup is in not one, not two, but 3 countries. The United States of America, Canada, and Mexico. Into the Net FC is available on all streaming platforms, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube.
The Playmakers Blog is proudly to announce that it is sponsored by Fanatics. Fanatics, where you can get all your official license, sports gear, memorabilia, whether it's for the National Football League, the National Basketball Association, Major League Baseball, National Hockey League, or even International Soccer League, or even college sports. So rep your team, rep the hardware, get comfortable, because Fanatics is the way to go. Where sports fans shop and official license everything.
All right, here we go. Fragrant foul on who else? Nothing but the Memphis Grizzlies.
Now, before I get started, shout out to Cole Johnson. Happy 50th birthday, even though your birthday was on this past Friday. Happy 50th birthday.
This is your birthday gift from me to you, and I'm going to roast the Memphis Grizzlies, ladies and gentlemen. To start off this session here, that you sound loud on the screen here, don't need to be, I will be eventually. The Memphis Grizzlies won 51 games, they lost 31, and they were second in the West. Second in the West, and this is how the season ended. 125-85, like I mentioned earlier. I told you I was going to dive deeper into this later on when that time has come. You got your ass whooped by 40 in a closeout game by a 7 seed. I said it earlier, I'm going to say it again. No starter for the Memphis Grizzlies scored more points than Anthony Davis. Anthony Davis had 16 points. Bean, Desmond Bane, 15. John Morant, 10. Dylan Brooks, 10. Xavier Tillman, 2. Jaren Jackson Jr., 14. Oh, and by the way, none of them had more rebounds than Austin Reeves. Xavier Tillman had 6. Austin Reeves had 6. From there, Jaren Jackson Jr., 4 rebounds. Dylan Brooks, 4 rebounds. John Morant, 5 rebounds. Desmond Bane, 5 rebounds. The goddamn Memphis Grizzlies, man. The immature that is the Memphis Grizzlies is the reason why they are ousted out the playoffs right now. And why I'm angry as hell. ...30% from the field shooting to the Lakers 54% shooting. The Lakers had 33 steals. The Grizzlies had 19. The Lakers bought 15 shots. There was a plus 20 in the paint. 52-32. And obviously, you see the last part, largest lead. Memphis had a 4-point lead, and the Lakers had a, and they ended the game with a 40-point game. And you know who I blame for this? This guy, Mr. Dylan Brooks. Yes, Mr. Brooks, I am aiming my fire at you. It would be John Morant, but John Morant wasn't the one chirping. But now keep me on camera. John Morant wasn't the one talking, running his freaking mouth all the goddamn time. That will be you, Dylan Brooks. Game one, Austin Reeves gave it to you. Austin Reeves gave it to you. Especially in the fourth damn quarter when he dropped 14 points. In the fourth quarter, as the Lakers stole home court advantage from you. Out the gate, Austin Reeves. I'm him. I'm him, Austin Reeves. That's how the season started. You bounce back, you win game two. When you win game two, you did this to LeBron James. And when you did that to LeBron James, you say you poke bears. You don't expect nobody unless they give me 40. Okay, remember that. Game three happens, this happens. Now on this one, I'm on your side, okay? I'm on your side. You didn't try to hit the man in the groin, but you did anyway. And you got a Fragment 2 call. But the NBA realized you didn't try to do that. It was an accident. It happened. You don't get suspended for game four. But, hey, I said I'm with you on that. Frustration happened. You ain't talk to the media. This is what Dylan Brooks declined. Interview request. I ain't talking. He told me. That's timid, man. I don't blame you on that one, okay? Because, you know, dude, that was some bull. That was some BS right there. I didn't even try to do it. I got ejected. Thank you for the leave for not suspended. Then, after the day after you come out, you told me and you said this to me. Quote, the media making me a villain. The fans making me a villain. That creates another persona on me. You're the one talking, though.
What you said has a reflection on how people respond to you. Okay? Just letting you know that. And then game four happened. And what LeBron James did to you? 22-20. Remember what you said. I poke bears. I don't respect somebody unless they give me 40. Well, LeBron James came in game four and said, I'm going to drop 22 points and I'm going to get 20 boards. And this is LeBron James' first ever 20-20 game in his career. And we talking 20 years worth. His first ever 20-20 game. And by this time, I think Snowman probably turned off the recording because he know that I'm about to go in. And every time I go in, it's going to be good for the Lakers and bad for the team that I'm talking about. Because, like I said, I can't stand the Lakers. He can't stand the Lakers. Like poison in my mouth right now that I'm doing this because it's at the expense of the goddamn Lakers. Also, I say pleasure of the damn Laker Nation. And Bron Sessions. Nevertheless, this was happening in game four, Dylan Brooks. After game four, where were you? Nowhere to be found. You dipped out. You left out. We couldn't find you. Game five, you bounce back and you win, and then we get back to game six. You see this? This is a 40-point victory for the Lakers. Isn't that LeBron James like this? And your dumb ass along with the rest of your goddamn team looking like this. You see this? Dylan Brooks, you are at the epicenter of this right here. It should be John Morant because he's the superstar of the team. But he wasn't the one running his mouth. That would be you, Mr. 24. Mr. Dylan Brooks, you're the one open your goddamn mouth. So you got to sit here and do this. And why the Lakers, Anthony Davis, and LeBron James got to do that? Look at this. This is the Lakers in game six. Passion. Fire. And this is the Memphis Grizzlies. Los Angeles Lakers. Memphis Grizzlies. Anthony Davis, LeBron James. John Morant and Dylan Brooks. What a shame. What a shame. And then this is what happened after you got your ass whooped by 40. I'm out. Dylan Brooks, as he declined media availability via Tinder Man.
This is where me and Mr. Brooks have a very big problem.
And I'm going to say it again because I don't think you heard me. This is where me and Mr. Brooks have a real, like, a real problem there. You start off the season by saying, yeah, it's nice that we get to play the Lakers. I want to face the Lakers, LeBron James, the history of the Lakers, history of LeBron James. They finally back in the playoffs after some time. Be nice to get rid of them, be the first one to get rid of them. I respect it. I love them. Like, okay. Bring that smoke. Yeah, bring smoke. We want smoke. Game one took place. You got your ass whooped. Bounce back game one without John Morant. You whooped the Lakers' ass. You split 1-1, you head down. You head down for game three, then you said the damn poop bears, and I don't expect people unless they drop 40 on me. Then you get the fucking two call in game three, get ejected and whatnot. And then game four happens, remember? 22 points, 20 rebounds on LeBron James, and your ass is nowhere to be found. Your ass is nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found all of a sudden. You want to be able to find a game three, and I ain't was too much off of that because there was a lot of emotions in that one. You got ejected for no reason. But by the letter of the law, you did get ejected. And you was like, maybe this ain't the time to talk to the media. So I let game three not showing up pass. But game four, your ass should have took that one on the chin and been a man. Game five takes place. You win the game. You do your job. Game six, you got your ass whooped by 40, and then this is what you do? Oh no, you should have took this ass whooping that LeBron James and Lakers gave your ass and take it on the chin. You look at the media and say, this series ain't go the way I thought. I did a lot of talking, and I didn't back it up for my team. I know y'all will look at John Morant. Some of y'all will look at John Morant because he's the first of the franchise, but no, this one's on me. I was the one doing the talking. I was the one that
had all the clip basing on it. It's on me. I didn't back up my talk.
When you do that, people respect you, but your ass left. So nobody respects you now. You're about to be the clown of the year because you did all the damn talking and you couldn't back it up. Not only you didn't back it up, you didn't want to face the media afterwards. It's stupid stuff like this that pisses me off. You're the one doing all the damn talking. But when you got your ass whooped, you was nowhere to be found. Nowhere to be found. Yet again, you don't respect somebody until they give you 40. LeBron James gave you 22 points and 20 rebounds in game 4. Then you got your ass whooped by 40 in the closeout game. Do you respect them now? And then the NBA? Dylan Brooks fined $25,000 for missing media availability. Chairman Morton, he should have fined his ass $100,000. I bet his ass won't never do it again. 25, he might say, all right, yeah, y'all can have it. Should have fined his ass. You put a dent in his damn pocket. So he won't do that again. And then your exit interview that you showed up for. I don't regret it. I am a competitor. I compete. Oh, so you're a competitor, right? You compete, right? That's what you said. I don't regret it. I'm a competitor. I'm compete. I'm gonna be me. So you're gonna be you. So if you're gonna be you, then this is you then, because this is what you did against the Lakers. 10.5 points per game, shooting 31% from the field, 24% from three rebounds a game, and 1.8 assists a game. So this must be you. That's not going to help Memphis go any damn where with you talking all this time, and this is what you're doing on the court. Y'all ain't doing a lot of that this, but these numbers tell a whole different story about you, buddy. You do a lot of this, but this is what is on the court. This should not be outshining this. That's what it's doing. Your mouth is outshining what you do on the court. 10.5 points a game in 6 damn games. Your ass couldn't even shoot 40% from the damn field. You couldn't even reach 30% from 3-point range. Your ass couldn't even grab 5 rebounds a game. And you couldn't even give me 4 assists a game. Your ass better take this offseason. You better work on your game like never before. And your ass better come back ready to cash in what you talk, okay? Like they say, don't talk. Don't talk a check with that your ass can't cash in. And Dylan Brooks, you are the epicenter of that saying right there, because you did a lot of talking, but your ass ain't cashing that goddamn thing. So next time, do me a favor. Do your job, talk to the media, and shut the hell up after that. And prove it on the court. As far as Memphis go, that's a whole damn team. This offseason, go the freak up. Be some goddamn men. And play the goddamn game. And be the team that we expect y'all to be. Instead of this immature team that went through all this stupid stuff in the goddamn season. Because the stupid stuff you did in the season, it came back at you in the post against the goddamn Lakers. Go to hell up. And that's all I got for y'all on Shooting Lights Out today. I hope y'all enjoyed this episode. You can catch this episode on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, YouTube, Amazon Music, Pandora, any platform that you listen to podcasts on, you can catch it all there. Also, check out our website. You can catch all our sports articles, my NBA articles for the playoffs, Bearman's articles for the Dallas Cowboys and their NFL draft. I'll try to do something for the Rams on that end. I don't know yet which one I'm going to do. I might do a podcast. I might do an article. I don't know yet. But nevertheless, y'all keep up with the Playmakers blog. We are doing good things. We continue to build on. I appreciate all the support from everybody out there. So from right here in Jacksonville, Florida, I am the Playmaker signing off. I'll catch y'all later.
But you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You gotta keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations, you gotta keep pushing. Now, finish your campaign.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever seen? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go. Let's go.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting the Lights Out.
Masterpiece.